take a moment and just take a deep breath. God, thank you for being so generous with us. Set your eyes on Jesus. Just close your eyes and just think about the beauty of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the majesty of Jesus. Bless what you're doing in this room today. I would just say, would you continue to minister by the power of your Spirit in ways that you only can. And if you have a need, just any kind of need, just take a moment, just lift that up to the Lord. Pastor pray for you. You don't need some team to pray for you, although we believe in that. You just lift up your need to the Lord and just say, Lord, I want to receive today. Jesus said, those that are thirsty, he says, come to me and I will give you living water. And he said, this living water is represented the Holy Spirit. Jesus, we thank you that you are the giver of the Holy Spirit. We ask that you would fill us up fresh and new today. We are people that are hungry for you. We're thirsty for you. We've tasted and seen that you're good, and we want more of you. Lord, I pray for the person that walked in here dejected and down. I pray that today that you would lift up their head. For the person watching online that is questioning whether their life has value, and I would just speak love. May the love of the Father be poured into your heart by the Spirit of God. Never get used to you, Lord. May we always be like children, just like we had at the beginning of the service, Lord. May we be like kids in awe and wonder of you. Lord, as we open up your scriptures today, your written word, I pray that you would bring it alive. I pray against any condemnation. guilt. Just say, no, we reject that in Jesus' name and receive your truth. And we want to align with your truth today. Lord, mold us into your image, conform us into your image, transform us through revelation today, Jesus. We ask that, we want that. We lay our lives down that you would give us full life today. In Jesus' powerful name, we all said, amen, amen. If feel free if the Lord is continuing to work and speak to you. We joke around, but don't change the channel. If Jesus is speaking to you, tune me out and stay on the right channel. If you're new here, I want to welcome you. And we love God. We try to love him. We love him as best we can. And we love his presence. And so if you're new, it may be a little different, but we don't come on a Sunday morning around a pastor or around a band. We come because we want to gather around the presence of God. And I think this is the beautiful simplicity that God is restoring back to his people all across the earth. As I talk to my friends and pastors around the country, is this beautiful simplicity that God really is enough. That actually, on a Sunday morning, he is the main thing that we're looking for. Not a good sermon, even, which is, I hope it's a good sermon today. I hope it's decent. More than a song that they sing that I like. But we're people that simply believe that when God is in the room, anything's possible. And we're learning, very humbly, what it means to move with him. So you're like, why did we stay there? Well, the team up here was just like, they know that when they sense God moving, they're just like, if God's sitting on a song, we just want to stay there. And so sometimes we'll sing a song for 5, 10, maybe even 15 minutes. It's actually very similar to what you see in the Psalms, this repetition, this beautiful sitting in truth. And sometimes, how many of you know, you got to hear truth more than once to get it, right? So sometimes when we're singing songs, you're like, why are we singing that 4 times in a row? We're singing it oftentimes because it takes that long to go from here to here. So there's really a purpose and a reason. It's not just these guys up here. Like, they're really trying to flow. What is God saying in the room? How many of you know God is speaking today? He is speaking. And we as people, we at this church, we want to learn what it means to hear his voice. And not just hear his voice, but to actually say yes and join him with what he's doing. And so, man, it is good to be with you. Hope you had a great week. Some of you were on fall break with kiddos. You made it back here. Maybe you came because you were in the car with 7 hours of your kids. You're like, I got to get some space. I don't know where you came from today. But I pray you're doing well. We have been centering around this verse in John 10:10. It's a verse that many of us know if you've been raised in the church or visited a church a couple times. Maybe you've heard of this. But Jesus says that he came that we may have life, and not just life, but have it what? Abundantly. Yes, you guys have been listening, right? And so we've been taking this John 10:10 and saying this truth. What does it look like in different areas of our life? Like, what does it look like? If I want to have life and have it abundantly, what does that look like practically? And I've been blown away by the testimonies that I've heard from people here locally, how God has been bringing transformation in your lives. I've been blown away at people across the country from California, Texas, Washington State, Florida, New Jersey, even around the world have been tuning in and are connected to what God's doing, and it's really resonating. We've talked about a lot of hard things, right? We talked about money, which is always challenging. We talked about marriage and sex. It's always a fun topic when a pastor talks about sex. And we've talked about a lot of things. And last week, I thought Richie did a beautiful, beautiful job of talking about community. Like, we're wired for community. We need community. We are communal people. Just like God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we are people designed for community. I thought he did a beautiful job of talking about what our heart is here. It's not just that you would have surface level relationships with people that we could check off that you're in a small group. That's not our heart. Our heart is that you would be known, that you could be fully known and know that you have a place here. That's what we want. We don't want plastic Christianity. We don't want just smiles and acting like everything's great. We want to walk with people when they're on the mountaintop, but we also believe that God's called us to walk with people when they're going through the valley of the shadow of death. when people can't raise their hands to worship, but we want to be people that cover those people. And so we want to be in community. And today I want to continue looking at maybe a little different topic. To be honest, a little nervous today. I've never preached on this topic before. I've actually never even heard a sermon on a Sunday morning on this topic, which is kind of interesting. And so we're going to see how it goes today. But the truth that we've been rallying around in this series is that abundant life flows as we align with God and his perspective. So if I want to see abundant life in my marriage, then I want to come to God humbly and say, God, what do you say about marriage and how can I align with what you say? If I want to know about my finances, then I say, God, what do you say about money? How should I rightly relate to money? It's not terrible, it's not evil, but how do I have a proper relationship with money? And so we submit to what God has said and what he is saying. And this goes for any topic in your life, any area of your life. God is inviting you to abundant life, but it's going to come through likely some death. We don't like that very much. We like life. But actually what we find out is that when we die, we give opportunity for resurrection. We actually can experience real life and not this shadow life that many of us settle for. And so today I want to start by looking at a belief system that had crept its way into the church early in the first century. So this belief system is Gnosticism. Maybe you've heard that. You've heard of the Gnostic. Maybe you've heard of the Gnostic Gospels. This word Gnosticism, or this belief system, it elevates knowledge above everything else. And not only knowledge, but what this belief system would have you believe is that the spiritual world is really, really good, and anything physical is really, 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 really bad and unclean, and you won't want it. And so the adopters of this, the people that pushed this and took this forward, this concept, they actually didn't believe that Christ came in the flesh. How could God come and become a person in the physical? Now there's not a lot of First Kingsport Gnostic Church around here. I don't know about that church. That's not a relevant thing. But the belief system, Gnosticism, is still prevalent in the church today. And so I want to shine a little light on it. And today, I want to talk about our physical bodies a little bit today. And so like we've talked about this whole series, don't let there be any condemnation from the enemy whispering in your ears today. Don't elbow your spouse, for sure. Don't do that today. But today, I want to lift up some truth. And I want to challenge us and encourage us as we look at this. So Gnosticism is spirit world is good, physical world is bad, knowledge is the highest thing. We're going after knowledge. And so what I want you to see from the very beginning, that God created both the spiritual and the physical world. He created both. We see this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him, Jesus, all things were created. All things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and what? Invisible, principalities, dominions, rulers, and authorities, all things were created through him and for him. So things that we see was created by who? Okay, God, Jesus, yes, same thing, right? And all things that we can't see was created by who? God, Jesus, yes, same thing, yeah, right? So both are created by God and for God. And then we get to Genesis 1. And we read the creation story that God created, and he began to create what we know as creation. And creation is very physical. It's matter. God created the heavens and the earth. He divided everything, gave light, put the sun, vegetation, made animals or dinners at my house. Then on the sixth day, he crowned off his creation by creating humanity. And we read this in verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Then a little bit later down in 31, he says that God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning on the sixth day. And as God looked at creation, his physical creation, He said, it's very good. On the seventh day, he rested because everything that was in his heart was completed. So what we see here is beautiful, that God created, yes, both the spiritual world and the physical world. And what we see specifically here is that we are made in God's image. Therefore, we are spiritual, we are emotional, we are mental, and yes, we are physical beings. The scriptures tell us God is spirit. So there is an element that the fact that we say and we believe God is in this room, many of us don't see him unless there's some spiritual, you know, insight that we have. Like, we're not seeing God in this room, yet we believe that he is right here in our midst, because you can't go anywhere that God is not. So God is spirit, but we also know that God has thoughts. So many that he says his thoughts towards us are like the sand on the shore. God has lots of thoughts. He is intellectually amazing. He's wise. He's got so much knowledge, all knowledge actually. He also has emotions. God has great joy. God has sadness. God experiences righteous anger. And even God is flesh. He became physical. And as he looked at the world, the physical world, he said, man, it is very good. I want you to hear this today, and let this be the tone of the rest of the message, is that your physical body was God's idea. Your physical body, the body that you are in, I hope you're in your own body, sitting in the chair or watching online right now, that body was God's idea. And he said from the very beginning, it is very good. Now, as your pastor, I want you to have abundant life in every area of your life. In your finances, man, I want you to experience his blessing. In your marriage, in your parenting, in your workplace. But what I also want as your pastor is I want you to experience abundant life in your physical body. I want you to be healthy spiritually and also physically. And I don't know about you, but we don't usually talk about this from the pulpit, right? Like I said, I've never heard, I'm 37-ish years old. I've never heard a message like this. There's probably lots of reasons for that. But as your pastor, I want you to be healthy, because I believe that actually God wants you to be healthy. And we see this a lot of ways. And so the main part of this beginning here is that your physical body is not bad. God actually said it's very good. He designed it. And what we see is that Jesus was the perfect model for this, because what did Jesus do? He stepped out of heaven and became what? Man. Flesh and blood. Jesus put on a real body. It wasn't an illusion. It was a very real body. In his real body, he was fully human. Not half human, not like sometimes human. He was 100% fully human and yet fully God. We can't understand that, but that's what we believe. Fully God, fully human. And what we see in Christ is that he walked the earth. He got tired. He got hungry. He probably got sweaty. He ate food. He took naps. We know that for sure. Thank you, Jesus, for that model. That he likely busted a hand while he was working with his dad, learning his trade. Like he was very, very physical. God became man and walked around in a human body. And that human body that we know as Jesus lived for about 33 years. Then he was crucified, like we sang about a little bit earlier. His body died. No more blood pumping through his veins. No more breath in his lungs. Dead. Put in a tomb. And 3 days later, by the power of the Spirit of God, he was raised from the dead, and the tomb was rolled out. And Jesus came out of that tomb, not dead, but alive. What's amazing to this to me is that we see that Jesus' resurrected body was actually a very physical body. Have you ever thought about this? That when Jesus came out of the tomb, it wasn't like he was like an illusion. It was a very real body, right? This is why when he showed up to the disciples and said, hey guys, peace be with you, I'm here. They're like, wow, he is here, but Thomas wasn't there. And Thomas is like, man, I only believe when I see. And so Jesus shows up and he says, Thomas, hey, put your hand in the holes in my wrist. Put your hand in my side. You know why he was able to do that? Because the human body of Jesus that was resurrected from the dead was physical. It was real. That's why we see in John 20 or 21, Jesus has a little breakfast on the beach. And you know what he wasn't eating? Spiritual fish. How many of you wish sometimes dessert was spiritual, right? Yeah, yeah. He ate real fish, ate real bread, because his resurrected body was physical. And then that physical resurrected body, guess what it did? It ascended into heaven where he is today. His physical body that was resurrected ascended into heaven where he is today. So the physical world is not bad. It actually was created to be very good. Now, when Jesus is walking around in his physical body, we see him do something. We see him do a lot of things, actually. But one of the things we see him do is that he valued physical wholeness. And so at this church, man, we value your physical wholeness. We see that Jesus, a huge part of his earthly ministry was healing the sick. Let me just give you one passage, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, the good news that the king has come, his rule and reign has come, and healed every disease and every affliction. How many of you know Jesus healed the sick? Can y'all just make sure you're awake? I know you stayed up with me last night to watch that game. By the way, don't throw bottles at me today. It's okay. Y'all are too tired to hear that. Is that too early? Is it too soon for that? I'm sorry. But Jesus healed the sick, right? Let me see your hands again. Who knows that Jesus healed the sick, right? Jesus, most of his ministry, I should say most, much of his ministry, majority of his ministry included healing people, setting people free from deliverance of demonic oppression. He was huge on seeing people wholly made. And so he preached the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God is here. It's not just the future tense, it's right now. But he also said, let me show you what the kingdom of God is like, because it's not just the knowledge. See, it's not just a Gnostic thing. It's not just I can aspire, I can learn, I can get to some knowledge. No, the kingdom of God is meant to be experienced. It's meant to be real. So he said, listen, the kingdom of God is here. I'm right here. The king has come. Let me show you what it's like. Enter the kingdom. This is what it looks like. Healing in your body. So much of Jesus' time on the earth, he spent praying for the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead. And the model that Jesus gave us is why we at the church, we humbly yet boldly believe that God still heals. And we see it so often, whether it's on Sunday mornings, whether it's in small groups. I love that I hear testimonies of small groups gathering houses and praying. It's what the early church looked like. Seeing God supernaturally move. And so we love the supernatural power of God. Anybody else love the supernatural power of God? Like, we believe it. We want more of it. Yes, Lord, more. May we be entrusted with your power. But the potential of a community, a church, that leans into and believes in the power of God is sometimes that church will put all their eggs in the basket of the supernatural and they won't live wisely. I don't know if y'all caught that. I'm gonna say that again. As a church that believes in the supernatural, sometimes we put all of our eggs in the basket of God's miraculous, and we'll live wherever we want to live because God will bring a miracle, right? And we forsake the fact that Jesus actually calls us to live his way and walk with wisdom. Yeah, I think there's a Christine Kane's podcast I listened to years ago, and I think I remember her saying, like, what if we didn't have to pray so much for our miraculous healing? What if we just lived day to day wisely? Ooh. I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes. I'm just trying to preach truth here. Don't hate me. But what if physical illness is more than just supernatural healing? What if it's a lifestyle we actually participate in? Think about that a second. Like what if, man, we believe God miracles, signs and wonders, and we're gonna pray for some people after church, and we're gonna pray for healing right in this moment. I don't care if it's a back pain, if it's a pinky toe, if it's cancer, we believe that God heals today. We're gonna continue to pray for that. But what if God is saying, church, wake up. Make some wise decisions today so you don't have to just lean on my supernatural power in 10 years in your health. See, here's what I know about our region is Tennessee is like the bottom of the barrel for healthy. It's like, man, I looked at a bunch of stats from 2017 to 2021. Like, we're at the bottom 10 in most of the 50 states in almost every category. Childhood obesity, adult obesity, heart disease, the percentage of people that take drugs, not legal drugs, illegal drugs. Like, you name it, like, Tennessee is really at the bottom. And what pains my heart and breaks my heart as a pastor and as a leader in this region is that our region is actually worse than our state. And I believe that our region needs a model of something different. How many of you know sometimes you need to see something different to know that you can do something different? And for far too long, I believe that the church has looked more like culture than countercultural in this area of health. And I don't throw stones because most pastors, honestly, that's why we don't talk about it, because most of us, including myself, struggle with being healthy in a lot of ways. And so here's just a little fact. Most people don't talk about what they struggle with. Probably why we've never hear messages ever in any form, in any place in the country about health, right? And so I'm telling you in love, and I'm not even like telling you, I'm just inviting you, like God is inviting you to actually participate in a living a life of health, full wholeness. We believe that God wants you to be whole spiritually, emotionally, mentally, but also physically. God has given you the opportunity to live a life differently than our community. Now, where do I say that? Now, here's where we're gonna be in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, in this context, Paul is speaking specifically to sexual immorality, but I believe we can extrapolate this to a much wider swath that he's talking about. Verse 19, he says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God?" Like, that right there should make us like stop us in our tracks. If you're a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives where? He's a seal right here. He's in me. I am a house of the Holy of Holies. The Holy Spirit has chosen to reside in me. This is what he's saying. He says, "Do you not know?" I would say that to the church. Do you not know that you are a temple of the living God? Everywhere you go, the living God goes. It's like a tabernacle. It's a moving spiritual house for God. That's you. That's who you are. He goes on and says, "You are not your own." Whoo. You were bought with a price. Look what it says here at the end. So glorify God in your what? Glorify God in your what? Body. One more time. Glorify God in your what?
Body.
Oh. Have you ever considered that? So glorify God, not just with your money, not just with the words you speak, not just with the care you give to the poor, the needy. All those are good and needed, but also he says, glorify God in your body because you are a temple of the Holy of Holies. God himself dwells in you. And then we see a little bit later in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now he's speaking of the Jews and the Gentiles and what they were allowed to eat. But once again, I think we can take something from truth here and apply it to a broader sense. He says, so whether you eat or drink, all of us eat or drink. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do to the glory of God. So you're telling me the scripture says how I eat or what I eat or how I go about choosing, how I engage with things that I need, that I can actually glorify God in how I choose to eat or drink. Whew. Somebody say, preach. A little quiet today. It gets better. Come on, hang in with me here. So real quick here, look at this. This is the truth that kept resonating in my mind here. And this is where I think Gnosticism has come in and done a disservice to the larger church is my body is not something I'm seeking to get away from. Somebody, you just need to hear this. Like, the goal is not to get away from your body one day. It's not the goal. That's not biblical. The goal is not to get away from your body, but the body is a means to worship and experience God. Like this flesh and bones that I have, like it was entrusted to me by God. I'm called to steward it. And as I steward it, I can worship God through how I steward this flesh and bones. The bones, I don't know what that is. Flesh and bones that you and I have. That I can actually experience God with my body. It's a totally different way of considering our physical health. And when I say all this, I want to make sure I'm really clear that honoring God with your body has nothing to do with your weight. Nothing. Honoring God has nothing to do with how fast you run a marathon or if you would even consider running a quarter of a mile. I know people in this room that are dealing with hatred of your own body. And I know people in this room that struggle with eating disorders. And others in this room struggle with any kind of balance in your diet or in your exercise. And so we have people all over the ends of the spectrum. What I'm talking about is taking a posture where I recognize God has entrusted me with this body. How can I bring glory to him through the way I steward it? It's going to look different for every one of us. And I'll just completely bring a little transparency is when I was on my sabbatical, I felt like the Lord gave me some really practical rhythms and some things to do in my life, some of which were physical. And just to tell you, it's been a massive struggle bus for me. And so part of the reason why I'm communicating this today is because I want some accountability, because I want to be healthy. I want to live healthy. I want to lead you with a healthy body. And so I'm just completely telling you, I haven't got this figured out, but I believe that God's called us all to steward our bodies to bring him glory through it. So I want to do that. So I'm running out of time here. So let me give you three lies real quick that I would love for you to write down that need to die today. Remember, we're dying to some things and living to some other things. Number one, God doesn't care how I steward my physical health. Lie. He actually does care. And he modeled that through Christ, who didn't just look to the future, but also was a very present tense God when he walked the earth. Lie number two, heaven is my home, so my body doesn't matter. Lie. How many of you know heaven is a future home, but how many of you know Jesus came and the day-to-day mattered to Jesus? Why else would he heal the sick if it didn't matter if they were just gonna follow him and go to heaven? Like, have you ever thought, like, why doesn't, like, when you say, Jesus, forgive me, I wanna follow you, why doesn't God just strike you dead and take you to heaven? You know why? Because today matters. Your physical health matters today. It's not just getting to heaven. That's really a Gnostic view that I'm just gonna escape this world one day and get to heaven. That's a terrible, terrible understanding of the way that Jesus lived his life. He lived today, knowing that there is eternity, right? The third one, and this is the one my wife and I have been learning a ton about. We've been studying this, and she's a guru at this, but here's the other lie. My spiritual, emotional, and mental health are not affected by my physical health. Woo! Some of y'all are like staring me down. You're like, how dare him talk about this today? I'm just telling you, guys, we gotta wake up. One of the ways I learned this is I was going through something about 4 years ago here, a really hard season in leadership. I was spiritually dry. I was not taking care of myself physically. And a friend of mine, Pastor Vernon, who's been here before, he called me up and he was asking me how I was doing. And this is what he gave me. He didn't say, hey, go read this in your Bible, although that would be fine. This is what he said. Hey, increase your activity rate 20%. Work out 20% more than you are today. That was his pastoral advice to me. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, no, trust me. you need to work out a little bit more. You need to have some physical activity because your physical is tied to your spiritual, which is tied to your mental, which is tied to your emotional. You know why? Because we are spirit, we are mind, we are body. Like we want to, in our day and age, we want to separate, especially in the church. We want to say, I'm a spiritual being. It's true. You are a spiritual being. That's meant to live forever. But you know what else you are today? You're also a body and your mind. All three matter and are interconnected. And so we got to recognize, man, sometimes our physical health, it does impact our spiritual health. Okay, here's the good stuff. I'm going really good here. I'm getting rolling. I'm getting ready. Okay, so if you're taking notes, you can write this. Here's a couple practical things to do. And once again, some of these are so practical, you're like, man, I learned these in elementary school. I get it, but I don't know if you've ever heard a pastor encourage you to live this way, okay? So a couple real practical things. Number one, choose nutrition over convenience. I told you, it's not easy. Oh, pals, I love you, but in moderation, right? Like in moderation, not every day, sometimes twice a day. Don't do that, right? Like, why do we say that? Because anything that is quick usually doesn't add lasting value. And that'll preach all things in life. But I'm just telling you, our day-to-day convenience of settling for zero nutrition, honestly, mostly negative nutrition, it's killing America. It's killing us. And sometimes we just need to hear that. And I get it, man. We got three kids in different sports, eating dinner late sometimes. It's hard. And so I'm not saying never eat out. My kids would kill me when they hear this message later on. But let's be wise. Let's make some good decisions. And that's number two is, I think one of the calls of the church is that we're called to eat counterculturally. Now, why would I say that? Let me give you some statistics here. There's a book my wife is reading right now. It's called How Not to Die. Sounds like a great title. It's all about how we eat, by the way. It's How Not to Die. And Dr. Greger says this. He said, most deaths in the U.S. are preventable. Most deaths are preventable, and they are related to what we eat. Our diet is the number one cause of premature death. Now, I'm not downplaying COVID at all. It's a pandemic. It's been horrible in so many ways. But diet kills exponentially more people than any other thing that we're going through right now in our country. But nobody talks about it. He said it's the number one cause of disability in our country as well. Believe it or not, there's 60% of all packaged food has added sugar. You know what sugar is? It's as addictive as cocaine. Some of you are like, yeah, I know that. What? You've been thinking about it after, you know? I get it. My wife made some pecan tassies last night, and they were so good. But man, it's so addictive, right? Time News estimates that poor diet killed 11 million people in 2017. Cleveland Clinic, anybody ever heard of Cleveland Clinic? Incredible researchers. More than 2/3 of heart disease related deaths worldwide can be linked to food choices. How do we not talk about these things at all? How do we not discuss these things? The author estimated that 6 million deaths could have been avoided through better diets. Oh my goodness. Healthy lifestyle choices reduce the risk of stroke 80%. It goes on to say that diet was identified as the leading factor, earning a designation as the worst of the health issues in the United States. Once again, I don't say this to condemn people. I just want to shine some light on, I think, honestly, a system of darkness. Let me just remind you that our food market, you know, I love capitalism, but capitalism is interested in bottom line, not your health. And we got to wake up to the realize, man, there are a handful of food companies out there that are pushing agendas and whatnot, and their agenda is to make profits, not to make you healthy. And so today, maybe it's just a wake-up call for us as the church to say, man, what would it look like if we glorify God in our body? If we, whatever we eat or drink, we would glorify the Lord in it. What if we thought like that? What would we do different? I'm just not even bringing like you have to do this. I'm just saying, like, let some light into the reality of what we're doing to our own bodies that God has entrusted us with. And this last three, because I know I'm running late here today, is make sleep a priority. Make sleep a priority. Easier said than done when you got little kids. I get that. Studies show 7 to 9 hours of sleep for adults is healthy. And what's amazing about sleep, and you know, we can go round and round talking about this, and we could talk for an hour about this, but sleep is actually God's way of healing your body. When you sleep, your body is actually at work. It's healing itself, getting itself ready for the next day. It increases energy, it lowers heart disease risk, it lowers inflammation, it even prevents depression. It helps you have a stronger immune system. This is what sleep does. Number four, and I talked about this before, so I won't spend a lot of time, but schedule a Sabbath every week. That means that you have a day set aside, just like the Father did as he created the earth. He set aside the Sabbath and said, it is holy. And he said, they will do this for all generations. He said, this is the rhythms I've given us. And actually, I was just listening to a podcast on this topic, and these secular guys were saying that our bodies were created with a 7-day rhythm. Do you know that? Science is pointing to the reality, the beauty of 7 days God created. And he said, the seventh day you rested. And so I want to encourage you, take a day where you don't work. One day. We like 2 days. We like the weekend. But just one day is what God actually calls us to. Take a day. Take a refresh. Reflect. Give thanks. Recognize the provision in your life that God has and trust him. And the last one, super simple, is create a plan for activity and stick with it. You don't need to be a CrossFitter. I don't do CrossFit. My shoulder would be laying on the ground if I tried to do CrossFit. You don't have to run marathons or Ironmans like this guy down here. Gardening, walking, running after grandchildren. There's a lot of things you can do, but whatever it is, make a plan and stick to it. Because it goes back to the 1 Corinthians 6:12. Glorify God in your body. And so I want to pray over us today. And so I'm just going to invite you to just close your eyes. And I know you're like, man, why are we talking about this in church? And I get that, but I do think that God cares about you, fully you, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and yes, physically. And he's invited us to walk with wisdom. And like we say, with every message, it's not a period, but it's a comma. Like, I would encourage you to take some time this week. What would it look like for you to ask this question? God, what's it look like for me to glorify you in my body? It's a question that I'm going to be digging into with my wife more and more. As I was praying last night and this morning, I know a lot of our body issues really are rooted in a self-hatred. And so I didn't want to leave today with just not addressing that. And so as our heads are bowed, if you're a person that struggles with self-hatred, that you hate your body, that you criticize, you critique, you curse it out loud, I just want to give you a moment, not to bring any attention, they're not going to have any attention, but to just you and the Lord, for you to take a moment and just confess that as being true, that you have cursed your body, that you do hate your body, that you're making decisions that are not good for your body. I just want you to have a space to do that. And I want you to take a moment, and this is everybody in the room. There's so much power when we bless things. And so I just want to take a moment, and I don't want you to just speak out loud, or you can just, and you don't have to speak out loud if you don't want to, but just say, Lord, I bless my body, and I thank you for it. Lord, I bless my body, and I thank you for it. Lord, I want to honor you. If you struggle with eating disorders, or specifically just on my heart today with suicide, so if you're online and or you're in this room or you're watching this later at some point and you've struggled with suicidal thoughts, I just want to give you space to release that. And so, Lord, I just command the spirit of suicide to be gone in Jesus' name. We break that lie off of the people that are in our community. We just say, come out in Jesus' name. Lord, remind us of truth. Lead us into truth that sets us free. May we be a people that walk with freedom and health as we glorify you in our bodies. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we get ready to leave and go out into the rest of this week, taking with us what we've heard and what we've learned this morning, I've got a couple of things that I want to share with you, some ways that you can continue to be involved in what God is doing here. So one of them is that our middle and high school students are getting ready to leave. During this coming week, they are going to a retreat at Doe River Gorge. This is called Burn 2021. We're pretty excited about this because this is going to be a weekend where students are just going to meet with the Lord and experience Him and hear Him and then move in obedience to what they hear. And so if you have students going, then we know that you have already probably been praying. But what we want to invite you to do is to be in prayer for these students and the leadership team that's going to be with them during the time that they're gone next weekend. So when you leave today, as you go out through the foyer, you will see a big board that has some papers clipped onto it. These are the names of the students individually and the leaders who are going to be part of Burn. And you can stop there and take a name with you. And then when they head out this weekend, you be covering them in prayer up until the time they leave, and then specifically while they are away from us until next Sunday. So grab a name as you leave today. Join us in prayer that this retreat is going to be a life-marking experience for students and leaders. And also, we have lots of Equip classes coming up. Many of those kick off in the next week, some of them the first week of November. And so we would invite you just to take a look at the website, click on events, and then you will see the things that are listed here, listed there, and you can sign up for some of these classes so that you can begin to listen and hear what it is that God is saying to you specifically. As we are ready to go, the prayer team is going to come forward. And Derek called out some really beautiful things as he was getting ready to close up the service. If you would like more prayer, we invite you to come down and talk with someone on the prayer team. And specifically, I just want to say something to you because I was reminded about it yesterday, and I think that it bears repeating again today. Your value is not determined by anyone or anything except Jesus Christ Himself. And that includes a number on a scale. So do not let that determine your value. Only listen to what Jesus has to say. Come and get some prayer, and we hope that you have a glorious week.